Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Final hour of the week for us here on Cody and Gold. Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll get to a plan, a well-detailed plan from a Big Ten coach for a spring football season. How feasible is it? We'll also hear from Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlsby coming up here in just a little bit. But it's time for our weekly conversation with our Chiefs insider, Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief over at Arrowhead Pride. Pete, always good to have you on, man. If only there was something going on with the Chiefs. It's been a busy summer, a bunch of big announcements, a great time to be a Chiefs fan, locking up guys for the future. The latest, though, Travis Kelce, four-year, $57 million contract extension. I think we all thought there was a chance something like this could get done this offseason once Kittle's deal did. It just happened to take place, what, like 3 hours after it?
Yeah. Can you feel the heat? It's just more of Chiefs news out of the kitchen. And that's what happened yesterday. We had some idea that this was going to come shortly after Kittle. And I think what happened was Kittle stole the record hours after, and so Kelce wanted to steal the national thunder shortly after his contract.
That's right. That's right.
We had Joel Corey on. He was making it sound like this deal was impossibly team-friendly. Now, we've heard that sentence a lot around several Chiefs contracts. When you look at this one versus the other ones, Pete, did he give him any more of a deal than Chris Jones or Patrick Mahomes gave Kansas City, or is this just they're paying him like he's supposed to be paid and this falls in line, but he just took some of the money on the back end?
Yeah, it's right along the same lines as the contracts that you've seen earlier this offseason. I mean, it's no different. Like, Patrick Mahomes, even though he signed for $500 million, he left some money on the table for the Chiefs to work with. And then Chris Jones and Travis Kelce both not taking signing bonuses. For two players to do that, that's a bit unheard of. But not only are they putting a tremendous amount of trust in the Chiefs, but I think in each other, where they just want to continue to build this dynasty. And it's not something that you see everywhere. And for teams to be able to compete with this, you're going to have to see it in other places. And I wonder if the Chiefs are starting a trend here. Once you get the quarterback done, maybe the quarterback takes a little bit less money, and then the rest of the players follow suit.
We've seen, obviously, that has been the most recent case. Do you give Patrick Mahomes mostly the credit for that, for, like, leading the charge on that? Or do you just assume these guys are staying in communication to kind of make that thing happen?
Well, yeah, I mean, I go back to Chris Jones's contract after Pat. Pat apparently texted Jones after he had his deal locked up that he left some money on the table, and he did. I mean, Patrick Mahomes really could have said to the Chiefs, here is what I want, a blank check, and the Chiefs would have had to say, okay, because you just can't let Patrick Mahomes go. But instead, I think that's why the deal took so long. They were really creative with it, with, you know, the things that they were calling the guarantee mechanisms and going year by year, and then at the same time not taking any new money until, what, year three. And so that gave the Chiefs some flexibility here. And all at the same time, a pandemic is going on where you don't really know the salary cap, a unheard-of relationship and unheard-of culture that the Chiefs have developed. And winning helps that. You know, you're coming off a Super Bowl. That was a lot of fun. Going to Miami was fun. Playing in front of millions and millions of people for a championship, that's a lot of fun. And the Chiefs wanted to keep it rolling. And I think that's why you've seen them take some team-friendly parts of these contracts.
With the Kelce deal and knowing that now it'll put him in a Chiefs uniform, even though there's some opt-outs in there, but put him in a Chiefs uniform through the age of 35, that 2025 season. Is there anything that does concern you other than the obvious, which is just flat out, hey, health? But in terms of performance and any type of drop-off, are you concerned that at age 35 and knowing that it's going to be about $17.2 million or so to the cap, does that concern you at all?
if there was ever a position that wouldn't concern me on the offensive side of the football, it's tight end, because we've seen a trend in the past of production remaining after the age of 30, 31. I wouldn't be overly thrilled if this was a running back the Chiefs were signing at the age of 30, 31, to this type of deal. But tight ends have shown an ability to continue their production, and there's no reason right now to think that Travis Kelce can't continue it. He had that ankle correction cleanup surgery last offseason. He didn't need any surgery. He's finally healthy this season. So he's going to be even better prepared for the season. Of course, there is always the caveat, right? I mean, you're locking someone up in longer term, but again, it's team-friendly, and you hope the Chiefs do the right thing here with the guys putting their trust in them. But if injuries happen, the Chiefs have some options to figure it out, and I think that's the beauty of this whole thing.
Pete, in the press conference, we heard Travis Kelce say that Clark Hunt's best decision of his life was to bring in Andy Reid. One, is that correct? Is that Clark Hunt's best decision of his life? But also, what was your best decision of your life? I got to figure out, you know, where you've made the right turns.
Yeah, incredible words from Travis Kelce. This is a married man, Clark Hunt, who has had multiple children, yet the greatest decision of his life was bring Andy Reid to Kansas City, and I agree with it. Forget about your family. Andy Reid is going to lead you to a really successful football franchise, and maybe one day even get you in the Hall of Fame, and I think we may see that for Clark Hunt now. But in all seriousness, it was a really, really good decision. I don't know about the best decision in Clark Hunt's life, but Andy Reid is the key to this whole thing. He's making sure this well-oiled machine runs, and the Chiefs should often be thinking about life after Andy Reid. Not that I think it's anytime soon. I've said before, I think Patrick Mahomes has given Andy Reid new life, but you're going to want to have some kind of plan in place when the king of this whole thing moves on. Who's going to be the next coach with Patrick Mahomes? Can Brett Veach handle the front office without Andy Reid guiding him? I know these are all questions that I don't think you'll have to answer for a while, but you should have answers to. But yes, I do think that. And then as far as the best decision of my life, it's probably go and meet you, Cody, and work, you know, at that other place for a little bit, and then bring that over to 610 Sports Radio, it's got to be that. I mean, we've got developed relationships off the field or off the radio, where we're able to grab some drinks together, play a little poker. I mean, that's got to be up there.
Teamwork.
My decision.
Teamwork.
Cody's gonna have to turn off. He's getting emotional over what you've done to Cody.
We've had such a good run, Pete and I, and it's only started.
Yes, yeah, that has to be way up there.
6-year friendship extension coming your way, Pete.
That I'll sign up for. It feels team friendly too, so I'm glad about that.
Talking with Pete Sweeney, our Chiefs insider, of course, the editor-in-chief over at Arrowhead Pride. And, you know, we were talking a lot about the fan makeup too this year for the NFL season yesterday on the show. And it looks like the Chiefs are one of about four teams that are looking at these pods. Charles Robinson over at Yahoo was the first to kind of report that I guess the Cowboys released some of the details on it. Do you think, like, if you were just a fan, would you be about this? It looks like it's friends and family only, and you've kind of just have a group of people that you're allowed to share these tickets with and have a pod set up at some point at Arrowhead.
Yeah, I think we've gotten to the point in the quarantine where we are all doing some of these small legal gatherings at home with either close friends or people you could trust or family members. So why not bring that to the public where you're just being really safe and you kind of keep it to yourself and you're able to go and bring it as long as you're socially distancing yourself from the other groups. I think that's a small step in the right direction. Again, the NFL has to be careful here. I mean, you don't want anyone to contract the virus and then you're dealing with all sorts of legal issues. But look, if a fan wants to go to the game and they're willing to sign a waiver and they're willing to risk that, I think they should have that right to maybe go out to the game. And pods seem like one of the minor solutions to maybe making that happen.
Well, and I get, you know, obviously it's an interesting approach because we find ourselves like some colleges are canceling sports and pros are still going on and trying to figure this out. I'm assuming at this point, Pete, you're a lot like us where we just assume opinions vary and these leagues and these teams are all going to do things based on varied opinions. So trying to predict it going forward for the rest of the way is going to be very difficult.
Yeah, and I think college is just completely different. I mean, these guys aren't necessarily getting paid to play. I understand that it's a huge business, but maybe I'm a little old-fashioned in the sense that if you can't go to class, I don't think you should be playing football. I just don't, and, you know, especially at the college level. Whereas the pros, I mean, it's a complete business, right? I mean, there's no education benefit in there. The players are getting paid to play. They know the risk. They're well aware there was an opt-out option. And so fans, I think, should have that opportunity, you know, to make the decision for themselves. If they want to go out to Arrowhead Stadium, is there a way to make it as safe as possible? And are you willing to take that risk? There could be a waiver involved or whatever like that, but I think you should at least have the option. And I think there's a lot of Chiefs fans out there. I don't want to put a percentage on it because I don't know, but I bet it's more than 50% that'd be willing, if they deemed it safe to go to the game, to go and participate and be a fan at Arrowhead Stadium on what is the first title defense, don't forget, in 50 seasons. This is uncharted territory for people who have been really passionate about football for a long time, so I think they should at least have the option.
Do you think it's going to be, God, I mean, are they going to raise the flag? And they're talking about, like, the rings might not be handed out in that first game. Are they even going to raise the flag at this thing? I assume they will, I don't know.
I do think they will. And that's the unfortunate part. I think you have to. We all hope for a run it back, but what if this becomes a scenario where it goes in the other direction and fans ultimately, you know, maybe can't go? Yeah, we don't know. This is a very unpredictable virus. I don't think you could take the chance to never have raised the banner. Someone else is crowned, and then you have to raise the banner from 2 years ago. And I think in the best case scenario, the Chiefs are the champions forever. But look, someone else is going to win the Super Bowl at some point. That's the hard
some point. I mean, 3, 4, 5 years from now.
I don't think you can take that chance, unfortunately.
Last fun thing for me, Pete. We were having a conversation on the text line about a random question. We were talking about moments of petty. Serta told us a couple of weeks ago he was at the post office and held up the entire line just to spite a guy and looked at specialty stamps. You got any particular moment of petty for you over the course of your life? This could be adult Pete, where you've grown up and gotten past these things, but any moment of pettiness stand out to you as something you had done just to spite the other person?
I think there was a moment in a parking lot one time where it basically a guy was trying to sneak his way out or something like that. You know, it was almost like a two-lane thing, and I made sure that half my car was in that second lane. You're not going to try to be sneaking out of the parking lot when nobody else can get out. I mean, that's the one thing. You're stuck with all of us, and I don't care if you have a smaller car. That's not going to fly here in this parking lot.
I did have to do that once on, like, where we were stopped on a highway because of traffic, and some people were taking to the shoulder to try to skip ahead. I'm like, no. Just, like, pulled my car over. Like, this feels like your problem more than anything. Like, you decided to drive on the shoulder. How is this my fault?
It is very dangerous because, like, you never really know in a car who you're dealing with. But at the same time, sometimes you just get so heated and you grit your teeth and do things like you would never do outside the car. But you got that protection, right? So, I don't know. Be careful out there.
Yeah, you get into the whole road rage stuff. But it does seem like a lot of the pettiness does happen in the vehicle. It does seem like it's when a lot of these scenarios would come up. Pete Sweeney, our Chiefs insider. Of course, the editor-in-chief at Arrowhead Pride. Appreciate it as always, man. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll check you next week.
Yeah, take care, boys.
There you go. That's Pete Sweeney, and we'll talk to him next Friday here on the show. And we got some more pettiness ones coming in on the text line too, Cody, as well. Someone said, if a customer doesn't tip me on a delivery, I tell that person the store is out of cheese and pepper packets. Haven't we heard that before from somebody?
Oh, that's microscopic pettiness, though.
That's it's still petty.
Yeah, I like
that's
it. That's petty.
That's an easy lie. I probably do that every day without even realizing that I do it.
Somebody said back in their 20s, you know, they were supposed to, some guys were really bothering him, and they were having a kegger, so he just took the keg tap.
Ooh.
Which is perfect because, like, that's so annoying. Like, either you got to go find another one, or you just don't have it when you want it. That's all those things. I appreciate people's pettiness. Said a roommate moved out once and took all the light bulbs and stole all the batteries from the remote.
That's super annoying.
Oh, I like it. It is a good amount of petty. The right amount of petty gold. That's what matters. Not the kind that's going to get you in trouble.
So keep those coming as well over on the Smitty's Garage Burmier text line, 913-576-7610. We asked Pete there a little bit just about the dynamic with college football and where the NFL is at. And it seems like the NFL is in a completely different stratosphere just in terms of their decision-making compared to where some of these colleges are. We know the Big Ten has said they're going to try to shoot for the spring. And Jeff Brohm over at Purdue and the Boilermakers, he put out he's been thinking of this because it's an extremely detailed plan about how to play spring football. And just a few of the things that stand out on that. Spring season of 8 games is what he says, starting February 27th. It would go till April 17th, and then they turn around and play in the fall, a full 10-game or a 10-game schedule. That's how he sees it happening. I don't believe that there's going to be a fall season if there's only two Power Fives. I think the likelihood of a spring season, if all of a sudden the Big 12, ACC, and SEC go ahead and make the same decision ultimately that we saw for the Big 10 and Pac-12, if there's five conferences, maybe there's a better chance of spring football. Otherwise, I just don't see it because of the logistics and the quick turnaround time more than anything else to the fall.
It is a horrible idea. It's worse than just not having football at all this season. Why would you play an 8-game season and then shorten your season next year too, while you're not even sure the other conferences are going to not play their seasons? They're not going to just shorten their season next fall for you. So if everything goes the way it's lined up right now, three conferences are going to play without you. Then you're going to play an 8-game season in the spring, and then you're going to play a 9 or 10-game season in the fall when everyone else is playing 12 or 13, they're going to get the recruiting advantage against you again. Like you would be better off completely shutting down your season and then just starting again in a normal time in the fall than you would be, if you're Jeff Brohm, trying to do two shortened seasons. This scenario might work if the other three conferences don't play. And then you want to say, hey, we still want two seasons. We don't want to interrupt too much of what the NFL is doing, but we still want a season next year, but we need more time to get it ready. Then maybe. But that does, it is myopic because it does wreck. Like, that's thinking Power Five, not Group of Five, not college football, because that does take everybody else out of the equation if you go back to a 10-game schedule, because then it becomes the same thing it is now. Conference plus one or conference schedule only.
Yeah, you're just impacting another year.
Yep.
You're impacting a whole other year. And in it, he pointed out that you would have the next spring. So like they would play this spring, they play in the fall, and then next spring would be no normal spring football. So like you say, well, then that's when we would make up the off time. I don't know if that really solves anything. The freshness question isn't so much from, oh, they had to play spring football and how are they ready for the fall. It's the spring to fall turnaround. So by giving next spring off, essentially, that's not really solving the problem, which is the concern of having the quick turnaround for so many of these athletes, not to mention just the
ones who are going to opt out because of the NFL
play
stuff.
Or not. Yeah. I mean, I applaud him and anybody, as we've talked so much about plans for sports, anybody that can try to come up with ideas to make things work. Like I'm not going to crush him for coming up with
no,
the
I
idea.
Just don't
I don't
it,
think it's feasible. Yeah. I don't think, and I don't think we're going to see truly spring football at a big conference level. Is there a chance the Group of Fives, maybe like your Mountain West, but even then I think they're going to sit back and say, why are we going to screw up our next season as well? We know that this year's a wash. We're losing a ton of money. It sucks, but let's try to go full force next fall, hopefully. I think that's going to be the approach for so many.
Because that's the way the other conference is going to handle it unless they get stopped. This was Bob Bowlsby. He was talking earlier this week about some of those things, and his exact quote was, let's just keep the virus from stopping us and we'll play.
We've always known we're going to have to learn to coexist with the virus. That's what everyone tells us. It's going to be around and very prevalent for 18 to 24 months until we get a fully efficient vaccine. And that's another point of good news. There are a number of different vaccine projects that are progressing. In fact, we heard about one last night that is headquartered at the University of Kansas. So, the Operation Warp Speed is right in the middle of the Big 12. And so we feel like there is likely some positive news coming forward, but we also have to be prepared for taking steps back as well.
And that's, again, where I think this, and we've seen that already in the ACC, Florida State's having a few hiccups as part of their procedure, and some people have obviously complained about the lack of reporting.
Syracuse is doing every other week testing. Like, what are you doing, Syracuse?
What's happening here is college football has been built on this world of secrecy. They give you nothing. They don't have to give you anything. Just think about, like, even for Kansas. How hard is it to get information on Kansas football, Gold? Impossible, right? It's like this unbreakable chain of information. They won't let you get in. And that's at Kansas, not at Bama, not at LSU, not at Florida State, not at Oklahoma. For the most part, these colleges can operate under this veil of secrecy because there isn't a Pro Football Writers Guild to hold them responsible. And I get it. You're going to be like, well, I'm saying the media could solve it. I'm not, just calm down. But they are more secretive than others. And what they're finding out is that secrecy looks like they're trying to keep out pandemic information. It makes it look shady and it makes people question. I think that's the problem that we haven't talked about in college football yet. This veil of secrecy is something they're going to have to be willing to lift a little so that people have an understanding of why they think it's safe to play.
I mean, I think the Pac-12, this was the initial, I think, response with the Big Ten when they decided to not do it. No, they were saying, we're consulting with our medical experts. And then people are like, well, okay, can you show us what you're hearing that the other conferences aren't? And then to the credit of the Pac-12, they actually did put out a full statement. And we, in fact, had
it's easier to do that when you cancel, though. See, you're trying to be secretive when you're still playing.
Correct. But that's what I'm saying. That's what needs to happen. And some people looked at the Pac-12 decision once they had some more of the information. They said, okay, I maybe understand this a little bit. But
the myocarditis and stuff.
Correct. And we had, you know, the doctor on yesterday that was from Oregon State that was part of the, you know, at least the information that was given to the decision makers in that. And I think, as he said, they might have different data. They might have different information. It seems kind of far-fetched, but at this point, I still think deep down it's August the 14th, and these other conferences are saying, why are we going to make a decision about something on September 26th, on August the 14th? And they're going to try and increase their medical protocols to see if they can't pull this off. They still may not be able to do it, but I do applaud them for at least trying to do everything possible to make it happen. I know why they want to make it happen, but that doesn't change the fact that they are at least trying to make it happen.
No, it doesn't. Bob Bowlsby did admit, though, you know, things go bad, Gold. They've got a contingency.
If we get to a point where we have a crossroads and the information contraindicates going forward, we know that we can pivot quickly to protect student athletes and to do something different if what we're doing is not working.
And that doesn't mean cancel games. It means, yeah, maybe we need to do testing more often, because they do. Like twice weekly for Syracuse, or twice monthly for Syracuse, you're like, it's not going to get it done. Like, we already have established, leagues have already set precedent for you for what a good amount of testing is to properly monitor their situations. Colleges can't hide behind these things anymore. I like Jeff Brom's plan if it were all a college football, maybe. But again, I don't know that, like, robbing from next season is a good way to go about it either. I think they just need to move forward. Those conferences who decided not to play, move forward with waiting until the fall. The other conferences are going to play, hold the ship. And see what happens here in a few weeks.
If there's one thing we've learned throughout this whole process, none of the schools, none of the conferences are all on the same page whatsoever. I think it's been clearer than ever that each conference and even really each school operates in its own interests and in really more than anything, just its own interests, period. All right, coming up in 90 seconds, Cert has got his fantasy flash, taking a look at running back Tevin Coleman. We'll also get to what's trending, and the Royals, a massive four-game series begins tonight with the Twins.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio. What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one here on Cody and Gold, the Royals, who will be in action, open up their series with the Twins now, have made a little change to their starting pitcher tonight, and that is coming from Mike Matheny, who says now Ian Kennedy will start tonight's game in Minneapolis as the opener, and then Jacob Junis, who originally was the scheduled pitcher, will follow Kennedy. We know Ian's been struggling here this 2020 season, gave up two home runs the other night in the win against Cincinnati, and Mike Matheny mentioning that they need to get his confidence up. Here's one creative way to do it. It is definitely a different thought that I don't think anybody had necessarily when we were talking about what do you do with him, what's the future.
I said pitch him.
You go low leverage and pitch him. This is an opener role. Nobody saw this one coming. Let's see how it pans out. Mike Matheny to this point has pushed just about every button correctly, right? I mean, it has been impressive to see his creativity with the bullpen management, even with the lineup, and let's see if it continues here to try to get Ian Kennedy on track.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. I'm just more morbidly curious on exactly how
interesting. It's interesting, and it's against
the
Twins team.
You gotta pitch him, you gotta get him in there. The Twins hit a lot of homers.
Yeah.
You don't eliminate yourself from the game early. Junis has been bad about giving up homers in the past too, but I mean, it's at least trying something. And if whatever your decision is, whether you think Ian Kennedy is going to keep you in the mix for a playoff hunt, they're 2.5 games back of a spot right now, or you think you might ship him in the trade deadline, that's 2 weeks away. Kennedy has to look a lot better in either scenario, this is a good way to get him in without, you know, the stress.
Yeah, we'll talk more about this series here coming up a little bit. It's a massive series for the Royals that starts tonight.
Yeah, and if you, you know, if he gets through two with six outs, might be Junis coming in to face the back part of the order to start himself off, get him off to a nice start tonight, too. It's the appeal of the opener if it goes well. Number two for what's trending, Wall Street Journal reporting that minority owners of the Washington football team are trying to push Daniel Snyder out. That comes on the heels of several concerning stories surrounding the organization and the reported trouble they were having around the time they were looking to change their name and Daniel Snyder's continuous fight over that. Minority owners include FedEx Corporation's Fred Smith, who, remember, threatened to take the name off of the stadium, Black Diamond Capital Chairman Robert Rothman, and so on. Reports are they would be interested in pushing Daniel Snyder out. I don't know if that'll actually happen, but I'm not surprised that other people want Daniel Snyder out of a gig. He's the worst.
No, I'm not surprised. I do think, though, if you will, like, he, I hate saying it, but weathered the storm.
Sure. It's a little late. They should have tried to push for that like a month ago.
Yeah, like I feel like he's not going to be forced to sell or anything like that. I think that would have already have happened when the pressure was at an all-time high, what, 2.5, 3 weeks ago. So,
correct.
Fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how where your stance is on that, he's probably not going anywhere whatsoever. Next up on What's Trending here on the show, we know the Cardinals will actually play baseball. How about that? They're going to play
tonight?
Baseball games. They are going to play some this weekend. A couple doubleheaders tomorrow. So the Cardinals will play three doubleheaders in Chicago, Saturday, Monday, and Wednesday, and then in Wrigley against the Cubs. So the Cubs were originally at St. Louis next week. Instead, all 10 Cubs-Cardinals games this season are going to be in Wrigley. They will not have one single Cubs-Cardinals game in St. Louis, just the way the schedule worked out. If all goes well, the Cardinals will end up playing 58 games this year. There's no way they're getting to 60.
It's August 14th. How the hell are they going to get 58?
They're going to have massive amounts of doubleheaders. Hope the weather is fantastic in St. Louis and in Chicago and anywhere they go, including the Royals later on in the season.
I think the Royals probably played three doubleheaders, maybe four, in a 162-game season last year, if I recall. The Cardinals are scheduled to play 11 in the next 6 weeks.
Hey, at least at this point, I'm just happy that they're at least going to be trying to get
That's
these games
two
in.
A week.
We know, right? There's no way they're playing 58 still because there's going to be a rain delay. There's going to be, hopefully not, but
yeah,
another.
They're scheduling 58 because they know if they get to 52, people will calm down. Because if they scheduled 50 right now, I'd be like, well, this is nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
They shouldn't get to play 50 games when everyone else gets to play 60 because of their own nonsensory. And you know, there's a lot of stories about how the Cardinals happened, but whatever it is, they did not take care of their business. Their outbreak caused problems. The Royals had the most positive test in baseball when the regular season started. Guess how many games they're on pace to miss? None.
Yeah, they play their 20th game of the season tonight, where the Cardinals are trying to play their sixth game tomorrow.
Sixth? Oh,
in their doubleheaders. They had to rent 41 rental cars to drive from St. Louis up to Chicago because nobody's hopping on a flight together, that's for sure. So 41 different rental cars.
Another staffer test positive.
Caravanning up to Chicago for this weekend.
Awesome. Unbelievable. Just awesome. Number four for what's trending, the NFL game officials are starting to see their first opt-outs. We've talked a lot about the players across multiple leagues, but apparently five NFL game officials have decided to sit out the season to go with two replay officials for 2020 opt-outs. Now, you might say, no big deal. I mean, they're officials. And I've watched some replacement officiating or bad officiating. As much as you might complain about the NFL officials just in general as a regular everyday fan, let's harken back to the times of replacement officials on the field and how poorly that went and how quickly they fixed it before we feel like five full regular guys out of normal work and replay officials out of normal work is going to solve that. Now, the game officials who opt out will get a $30,000 stipend and job guarantees for the 2021 season. And again, some of those referees are a little bit older, so I don't blame them, just like I wouldn't blame a player, but we'll see if those five guys have any impact on the on-field product.
Good for the referees associate. Looks like they actually negotiate an association. They negotiate something pretty good for them. Yeah, I mean, it's going to hurt the quality
deal of
officiating because you're going to have some more alternates, presumably now having to officiate some games and move forward. Hopefully it doesn't impact what is already a very criticized officiating group in the National Football League. We don't need any fail Marys or anything like that happening again. Definitely not. Next up on What's Trending, we learned today from Andy Reid just the status of some guys when it comes to injuries. Frank Clark did not practice practice today, the first full padded practice, but due to a stomach virus. Anybody remember last year and then go back to Seattle? He's been dealing with this. Sounds like it's just something that is part of his life, unfortunately. He's had this multiple times, the stomach virus. Fortunately, when you hear illness nowadays, you think the worst. Unfortunately, it's just a stomach virus. It was not COVID or anything like that. We'll keep an eye on that. Hopefully, he's able to practice heading into the weekend and back on Monday. Also, Bo Pete Keys, the rookie, an orbital fracture. It happened, I guess, a little while ago, so it's not something that just now occurred. Hopefully, he's good to go, but did not practice. That always just sound, you hear, that just always sounds extremely painful. Extremely painful. Hopefully, it's nothing too, you know, there's different severity levels within that, but man, yeah. No, thank
sounds
you.
Sounds awful.
Deion Yelder also out with a groin injury.
That's at least not with a groin. You didn't make that mistake.
Yeah, no. Oh, believe me, I know the background on that one. Yeah, groin injury.
Groin injury.
He's out with a groin.
To go with it. But yes, no, it's mostly an okay injury update for the first day of padded practice for the Chiefs. More than, actually, a day less than 4 weeks away from the Chiefs are scheduled to open up against the Texans. 4 weeks yesterday. Unbelievable. Lastly, for what's trending, speaking of that, you might have been asking yourself, hey, who the hell are those Chiefs Super Bowl rings? Not ready yet. Apparently close to being ready, according to sources over at Pro Football Talk. But he says it'll be unlikely at this point they would do the big ring ceremony the opening game of the season. Gold, all I'm trying to do is get a sneak peek. I just want to know what they look like. I don't even need to do the whole ring ceremony yet. Just give me that like high-res photo of what the ring's going to look like. You know, big KC in the middle, the Lombardi on the side, people's names. Give me the normal run. I will remember this with the Royals.
Ooh, see,
Show me that championship ring.
Are we thinking it's going to be the big KC? Or are we thinking it's going to be the Arrowhead? We know the Royals had the big KC, but are we thinking this thing's going to? I was thinking this is more Arrowhead. Yeah, I was thinking this is going to be more of an Arrowhead than a KC. Of course, it'll say KC somewhere on there, I'm sure. But
I mean, this one will have the one Lombardi. The ones later will have three and
that's
four.
Yeah,
but, you know, when you're looking at it now, definitely. I guess I was thinking KC.
I mean, they can have multiple
red
designs.
Red kind of pops off a ring, Serta. I'm thinking like the red KC kind of pops. Yeah. An Arrowhead? You think it'll be an Arrowhead?
Yeah, I think it's going to be an Arrowhead, not the KC.
You want to take a side here?
They can eventually get a KC one. They can eventually, like you said, get a KC one in there and get in the mix there.
People as
they
want get a couple you to get more. Rid of the Arrowhead already. Just do the KC.
Save yourself the trouble now.
Yeah.
I mean, I was looking at the Patriots' numerous rings, if you're wondering. And did any of them? Now, it's different. I get it. KC, any is not. It's not the same comparison. But none of theirs did not just have the logo, if you're wondering. All the Patriots' rings had the logo. None of them had like any on the front or anything. I know it's different cities, but just if you were curious, I think it'll be a logo, and then a nice fat ring, man.
Well, I mean, obviously that part. I mean, there's no question about that part, but you're saying 1,000% logo. All right, I mean, it very well could be. You're probably right.
I do want the video.
You're probably right.
You said high-res photo. I just want the wraparound video, the 360 photo of the ring, and then they can start promoting the probably $250 fan replica version of the Super Bowl ring, which people are going to buy like crazy.
Are people going to buy that for $250?
Yes. Remember 2015 with the Royals? People were buying the Royals replica rings.
Boy, the Patriots rings, just the logos started getting smaller and the amount of Lombardi trophies on it started getting bigger.
That's I get it. That makes sense to me. Why not?
Honestly, I kind of respect it.
Of course you should do that. If the Chiefs rattle off a couple in a row, make sure people know this is that third in a row.
Yeah, this is
their fourth overall, or this is their fourth one in the organization's history. You should be doing that down the road.
So should the Chiefs have two Lombardis on theirs?
Not on this ring. I think what you do is not on this ring, but if you win one this year, then you go ahead and put a third.
Although
then it's three.
They have progressively gotten much bigger, I feel like.
Well, yeah, the cost. I mean, what was the cost of the Patriots last one? It was absurd. Remember, then the Patriots were also petty. They put like the 28-3 thing on it too for the year they won against the Falcons.
Oh, yeah. Like I was
thinking of pettiness we were talking about earlier. Yeah.
Fine by me. That's what happened. I can't believe the Falcons blew that lead. One of the worst blown games of all time.
I lost way too much money on that.
$25. Oh, do you have money on the Falcons?
I don't want to talk about
Whoopsie
it.
Whoopsie doodle.
It's not a good one.
Well, it happens, man.
Text line 913. I did until you brought it up, man. 913-576-7610. Bringing back bad memories. From the 816, KC in the middle of the Arrowhead. So both. Like, it's the Arrowhead, and then obviously
the
Arrowhead
logo,
is the logo. We know that, but like, Does that count? Is that, I would still say that's the Arrowhead, not the KC.
I would say so.
Okay.
You're saying team logo. I was just saying KC. You're probably right.
So we'll see. Maybe that gets ironed out here in the very near future. But this is a massive series, though. Getting back to baseball this weekend. It's an odd, like, four-game series that goes into Monday. Typically, it's a four-game series. Obviously, would have started yesterday. But they had the off day. And with where the Royals are situated in the AL Central, man, at this point in time, and they're sitting, yes, in last place. I get it. They're 8-11, but they're only four games back in the Central. It's a four-game series.
Two games back of a playoff spot. Remember, the top two teams in the division.
Absolutely. And the Tigers, who we don't really buy into entirely, they're 9-7. They're in second place. And then the White Sox are tied with the Indians at 10-9. This is, as we heard from Mark DeRosa yesterday, you know, the toughest division in baseball right now, just based off of how balanced. Nobody's running away with it. It's a very balanced division. In fact, the last 10 games, everybody is 500. Everybody is 5-5 heading into this weekend. And when it's a four-game series against a Twins team you just swept in Kansas City, you should have plenty of confidence. I'm sure they do, heading into this game and this series. And we could be talking about our show on Monday going for a first place spot in the AL Central. If they're able to surprise some people again and rattle off three, it's a massive series. I'm not expecting them to win three of four, by the way. But if they do on Monday, we'd be talking about them going for first place on Monday night. That's how amazing this short season can be. This series, I'm thinking positive. Don't give me the negative spin on it. Just positive.
I didn't say anything.
They can go, because I know what someone's saying. They're thinking, Cody, they could also lose four in a row and then be eight games back. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that whatsoever. You get three of four heading into Monday, Cody. You get that fourth game, and all of a sudden you're in position to potentially be tied or first place in the AL Central. Can change by Monday.
It's such a different from a week ago, where they were coming off all of those losses against the Cubs. And they'd gotten one, right? Like, they'd gotten that 1-13-2 win, but they were still like 5-6 games under 500, and you're like, all right, well, here come the Twins. And while we didn't say it, we were probably saying, like, here come the Twins to nail this coffin in, right?
Sure.
Because they were 3-10, then 4-10 because they won the game, and getting ready to take on the hottest team in all of baseball, you're like, this is going to be rough, right? And instead, they swept them, and we got to have a different conversation when we came in on Monday about them competing. All I want for this weekend is a split.
Yeah.
Just anything to get a split, which to me means the first game is the most important, because it's really, I know you could say that about almost any series, but in particular because it's the Twins and you got kind of an oddball lineup going tonight, because you got Ian Kennedy leading things off and you got Junis going behind him, and Jake Odorizzi starting just the second game for the Twins. So how good is he? He was very good against the Royals last year. So how good is he looking? But it's you get that one, and then all you're asking for is to get a win with Duffy on the mound against Berríos, who has struggled more than normal to start this season, or Singer against Dobnak, who's been tremendously good for the Twins, like a sub-1 ERA and a 3-win record already, or Chris Bubich against who knows the Twins are going to start on Monday. So you got two really young guys. You got Duffy against one of typically their more elite starter and an oddball one tonight. I got feeling they can get a win in one of those other three games, but that's why tonight kind of hinges on that, because we can talk about their seasons. I know it's not going to sound super sexy to say they're 10-13, right? But 10-13, and through a large majority of the Twins scheduling part of your portion, the most difficult part, that's a good thing. You'd only have one three game set remaining against the Twins next Friday through Sunday. And then you get to take on a haggard Cardinals squad, the White Sox and Indians, all teams, and the Reds, who haven't been playing particularly well, all teams that are inherently more beatable than those before you get to the easier September schedule. So this weekend for me is like anything near 2-2 and you can do it. And it starts with Junis tonight. It's putting probably every pitch is on there, but you're right. Like, Serta's more invested. We're more invested. We're all more invested because there's a lot on the line every day.
Right. Would I take a split? Of course I would take a split, because what have we said all along the season? It's about
they'd be five and two against the Twins to start the season with three more to go. Sold.
That, and just, we said, as long as you can stay around 500, as long as you can stay in the hunt and see what happens, stay in the hunt, get to late August, get to September. Are you still within three games of the division lead? Are you still within two or three spots of a playoff spot getting in September? That was kind of like the expectation for me this year. And that would still keep you in line to be able to do that by splitting a series. But yeah, am I going to think and get a little greedy here, knowing how the Royals are playing and where what I do like what we're seeing, and especially if they do take the one tonight, which you're saying.
This is a little different than you were going into the Tigers and you're like, they got to win 3 of 4.
Yeah,
this one you're
that
like,
was keeping the season
really
alive. That was like a keep the season alive type of deal. This one, they, you know, as long as they don't get swept. If they get swept, I mean, you can't get swept though either. Yeah, you may have swept the Twins last. You can't get swept because you're already four back in the Central. You're four back in the Central. You can't come out of Monday night's game and be 8 games back in the division all of a sudden, and therefore probably what, 4 games out of a playoff spot at least. So you
7 games
you
under 500 with a week before the trade deadline.
But I am thinking bigger picture. If they can surprise people, let's say they take 3 of 4 or really surprise people, and they've won the first 3 going to the weekend, and best case scenario type of stuff. We're doing a show on Monday at that point, Cody, talking about a game for
game or two back. Yeah.
No, but a game for first in the AL Central. If they win Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the Royals would be going for a tie in first place in the American League Central and heading into the end of August.
Depending on what the other teams did, I guess technically someone could jump that game by then, but yes. And the end of August is the most important thing you're talking about.
And that's why
that.
The Reds game from this past week is going to be so, like, the game that you're going to still go back to, because you're like, the Royals outplayed the Reds in that one and weren't able
at
to
at least they
to
hung on to the other one that was kind of slipping
thank
away
goodness.
From them late. So
thank goodness.
Look at it from a couple.
Do you think Ian Kennedy as an opener tonight? Creative role for Mike Matheny, trying to get his confidence. If he gives you 2 innings, no runs, looks bad. Maybe he works around some hits. Biggest thing is not giving up the home runs. That's
well, and it's a way
problem.
To rest the bullpen, too, by doing
gives
it.
Gives you 2 innings. Junis gives you 2 or 3 innings. You piecemeal
I think Junis,
you're
hoping it's 5, and you maybe only you need, like, Stammon
ideally.
And Rosenthal in the back end.
Ideally, yeah. I guess Junis gives 3, 4, 5, 6 and gives you to that point at least.
A couple times through the order is what you're hoping for.
You know, you do that. Ian Kennedy just has to 4 or 5 innings. One time through. But bigger picture for Ian Kennedy, it'd be nice if they were able to get his confidence and get him right a little
ideally
bit.
Ideally, not
for one
time through, because they're talking about 2 innings. Ideally, he gets through 6 batters and we're sure. done. Yeah. One time through might prove some
but
problems.
You're not
but
asking,
yeah, I understand.
You're not
he's not going to see anybody a second
yeah,
time.
Yeah, you're not asking him to get past any more than that. That's for sure. Besides absolutely watching not. Some Royals baseball, what's everybody up to this weekend? Let us know on the Smitty's Garage Burger and Beer text line 913-576-7610 as we take a look at the weekend slate.
Weekend slate. So my son's birthday, so we got to do stuff related to that. On Sunday, he'll be 2.
Are you doing the drive-by gift
be
exchange
2?
Again?
Hell yeah, it's the best way to go. I might do that forever. I may never have another kid's birthday party forever. My kids might just do drive-by
birthdays
forever.
You're going to disappoint your kids.
They're going to have to say the words, "I want a regular birthday party," before we go back to that.
They just want the gifts. For right now, you're
I
okay.
I think they're going to ask for a regular birthday party.
Not yet. Not yet. They're 4 and 2 right now. All my daughter's been asking for is, hey, let's go see Uncle Carter and Uncle Stefan, go to his house and have a party time. She doesn't even have an actual party. She just wants to hang out with them. Hmm. She just calls it a party time. So I got to do that. You and I are all getting, we're all getting together tonight.
We are.
It's a show.
We are.
There's tacos on the menu, by the way, and some elote dip.
That's what elote dip.
You don't know what elote is? Oh, it's going to be phenomenal.
What's an elote dip?
Serta knows what elote is. Elote is a style of Mexican corn.
Oh, okay.
Typically all right, charred. All
right. So just say some Mexican corn dip. Cool. Got it. Thank
that's
you.
Not, it's good. Elote.
Got it.
It's always, it. If you ever go to a Mexican restaurant, a lot of different Mexican restaurants, they just kind of put it like in the corner of your plate.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, wait, that? Okay.
Hold on. Calm down. It's just like a corn salsa.
Wait. If it's what I think sir is describing, I don't like that. I leave that to the side. I don't even touch it.
Are you?
I mean, it's normally...
Is it
if
like
it's
kind
a
of
dip? It's different.
Okay, because what you're describing is like it's usually you can tell they just did a small scoop and they stuck it in the corner and it's like really it seems kind of dry looking to me. That's what Serta kind of was describing.
You need
it's
to.
Dip.
I know you're.
It's not gonna be dry.
You're gonna.
That's
be,
why I said
correct.
In a dip it's gonna be better. So Cody's doing tacos. We're going over there, gonna have some beers and hang out a little bit tonight.
What are you doing?
Well, doing that. I'm doing that. Other than that, no plans so far.
Oh, woof.
Yeah, it's all up to today. This is the whole weekend is also
this is your
watch,
whole
we're going to watch some Royals baseball tonight, and hopefully the Royals win 3 over the weekend. And we're doing a show on Monday talking about a chance to be maybe tied for first place.
Huzzahs all around. I guess you got nothing going either, Serta. Just beers tonight, and then just hope something else happens.
From the 816, coaching high school football. Shout out Holden, Missouri. There you go. I guess there are some places that would be. I mean, we'd be
sure,
getting
there's
that.
Still some
yeah.
local places playing football. Be fun.
The final word.
All right, final word today. I was going to put this coach on blast. Have you seen the UMass football coach? We know there's, unfortunately, for some student-athletes, this is awful to not have a football season, the opportunities that it gives them. For coaches, it's an opportunity for them as well. But also, let's put things in perspective a little bit here. So UMass, their head football coach, and UMass, not exactly a powerhouse football program, Walt Bell is their head coach. He was asked about the season being canceled. This was his quote to The Athletic. "You know, my dad passed away in 2008. My biological mom OD'd in 2012. And to be honest with you, this is probably a tougher day than both of those." End quote. Dude, dose of reality a little. Like, this is ultimate football coach speak there. Come on now. Come on.
It's a little too life and deathy for me on the football front at UMass.
And they were 1-11 last year.
Oh, they're just a bad football program in general.
Yeah, they haven't won more than six games in, like, I think 20 years or something like that.
Are you gonna say that losing UMass football is worse than losing your parents?
Put some life in perspective here, pal. Come on, that says a lot about you.
Dial back the football a little bit. I think that you need to take it back. Like, you're the guy that we definitely can't trust to, like, make sure people are handling things safely, because you're gonna be so frustrated by the rules that prevent you from coaching football. You're just gonna make things worse.
It stinks, but let's sit back for a little bit. All right, I hope everybody does have a fantastic weekend. We're back at it Monday, hopefully talking about a couple Royals victories. For now, we hand it off to The Drive.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10-2, 610 Sports Radio.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.